My name is Andy Story, and I'm proud to be a 32-year resident of Juneau. I am here today to formally announce my candidacy for House District 34. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I want you to meet my husband, Mike, and son, Ryan. They have been so supportive over my 15 years of public service. And my daughters, too, Ellen and Mallory. I chose the public library to make this announcement, as I love libraries. And we have a beautiful one that's a result of our community coming together to make this goal a reality. I want to acknowledge that I am making this announcement on the homeland of the Occoquan and Tahkuquan. My life is continually enriched as I learn more about the history, culture, language, and traditions of this place that we all love. Today I'm running for the House because, number one, our community and our state need a fiscal plan from the legislature. This plan, when done right, is necessary for a stable economy, which provides certainty to the private sector to create more jobs in Alaska. A fiscal plan will maintain state jobs, which provide the public services all Alaskans expect and desire for a good quality life. We need to meet the needs of our various economies in Alaska. Small businesses, fishing, tourism, mining, government, including tribal governments, and oil and gas. We need to look at how we enhance and support business here while maintaining our beautiful environment. Take tourism. Let's help our tourism economy by getting out the message, you haven't seen Alaska until you've been to Southeast Alaska. And in Juneau, we must continually be working to be the best capital city that we can be. This means improving access and keeping state jobs here. Number two, our children's education must be prioritized. I will work to see that the per student funding is increased, and we must keep up with rising costs. This way we can keep teachers and maintain support services for our students to help ensure that they get the attention they need and graduate. I will work with our federal delegation, with whom I already have a relationship, to increase the federal government's promised share of financial support for special education services. This will free up state education dollars so districts can invest more in the classroom while supporting those with special needs. Education at all levels is an economic driver. Our universities and trade schools must be supported to meet workforce demands in mining, teaching, healthcare, fisheries, oil and gas, technology, construction, and innovative enterprises. Thirdly, I will also work to lower healthcare costs and provide affordable healthcare in the private and public sectors. Healthcare is a huge cost to businesses, government, and families. I believe we can control these costs to help stabilize state spending. That means that all parties must come to the table to look at innovative ways to bring costs down. Our public safety is critical. We know that education is driving crimes. Treatment and support services must be identified and implemented. We know that the needs of our family and community members with mental health conditions must be addressed. Incentives to address the police officer shortage must be considered, including looking to strengthening training and retirement systems. The key to Alaska moving forward is civility, respect, and dialogue amongst all of us. I am convinced that Alaskans can come together as a statewide community, whether Democrat, Independent, or Republican, to advance the best legislation for serious issues facing Alaskans. That's how we get things done. I am grateful and proud to have been elected 5 times to the school board. I've dedicated these 15 years on the board to getting to know the needs of kids and families across our community and doing my best to help. This has involved a lot of listening and a lot of learning about what matters to people, especially to those whose voices may not be heard. I intend to do both listening and learning during this campaign. I have to say that I am proud to be running for an elected office in this time of so many women being motivated to run for public office across our great country. I truly thank you all for the honor of being elected to the Juneau School Board for 5 terms. As I said earlier, working with respect and civility is critical. My experience has taught me that it is all about relationships and getting action that advances sound policy. In my many years of advocating for education, I've worked in statewide leadership positions, developed statewide networks, and been up at the Capitol working with legislators, staffers, and other leaders. I've spent countless hours encouraging citizens to speak up. You have more power to make change than you realize. I have worked with a tremendous variety of people from all backgrounds to get things done, and I commit to continue to doing that. I want to say this about Rob Edwardson, who is also in this primary race. I respect him and his contributions to our community. We are in the race for the same reason. We care about Juneau. Rob and I agree we will support whomever wins the primary in August. Rob recently was elected to the Assembly, and I am glad to know that he will be in a leadership position in this community, regardless of the outcome of the primary. I'm proud of Juneau, and I will be proud to work my heart out for this community in the Alaska Legislature. Alaska is at a critical point. We must go in a smart direction and come out strong. I want to be part of the solution for fiscal stability. I bring 15 years' experience and strong statewide connections that will help achieve this. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I am a tireless advocate for what I believe in. I am ready to be a tireless advocate for Juneau in the State House. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to be here today. I appreciate hearing about your concerns. Most of all, I would appreciate your support and your vote in August and in November.
Great. So you'll be running as a Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume he's going to be an independent, but he's a Democrat too?
No, he's independent.
Okay. But he's going to actually go in the Democratic primary?
Yeah, he's going to go on the Democratic and the independent are on the primary in August.
I see.
August 21st, I guess.
All right. Okay. Pretty much you hit what you're going to focus on, obviously, with the background in education. Is there anything else that you've done in the private sector or your job or anything?
I'll work for Catholic Community Services. I've got my master's in social work.
Oh, master's degree? Okay.
In social work. And so when I had my third child, I quit working, and I have a child with autism. And so he's doing pretty good. He's a smart guy, just has trouble communicating socially. So that's been a little bit more energy. But really what's been wonderful about my board service is it takes a lot of time, and it's been very meaningful towards me, and so it's been like I have a lot of interest because obviously the school board takes time, and I'm still on the board of directors for ASB, and I also still am on active as the statewide steering committee with Great Alaska Schools. So I have a lot of education hats on there, but it's been great because I know a lot of legislators up at the Capitol building, and I've been, Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan and
so
Dania.
You won't be running for board education. You can't run for both.
Mm-mm. But one of the reasons why I was really frustrated again when they did not increase the base student allocation, the $100 to the per student formula. So that means we got one-time funds, which I'm grateful for that. But that means we will be more cuts. It really erodes public confidence when we're hearing again. We've got to look at, we cut $3.5 million this year. And with one-time funds, it's hard to, you're going to have to lay those staff people off, or you at least have to project that. And they have said it's their intent to give $30 million one-time funds next year. So that's good. But I really believe it needs to be inside the formula. So again, it's all about certainty. Boards need to have certainty when they're planning strategy, when they're interventions.
10 teachers, I think they laid off, right? Is that what the district, I think it was 10?
Yeah, we're hoping. Well, it's always interesting to see because this year we usually plan for 10 to 12 teachers to retire, and like only three did.
Yeah.
And so, and we cut our instructional coaches who have longevity and they're excellent teachers, so they went back into teaching positions. And so then that bumped out some of the newer teachers too. And then we have 54 less students projected coming, so that's two teachers, because that's, so it's all those variables really impact funding. But I was just saying that I thought about, okay, I can run on the board again. And I really, behind the scenes, I really try and get people from all over the state to call in, because that's what makes change, is when people are hearing from their representative. But then we still haven't gotten it inside for a sustainable funding that we can count on. So I thought, I'm going to try and be at the table. So we'll see. And I know it's, you know, lots of discussion about what's a priority. But so, and then I would say, you know, my husband's a small business owner, so I'm certainly aware of business owners' needs and that.
Oh, yeah, small business especially, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you mentioned all the women being prioritized to try and run for office. That kind of motivated you?
To me, that just was uplifting to see women be more involved. I am the only woman on the school board right now. So there are 6 guys and one woman. And so we need that kind of lens on the board too. The more diversity you have on any one of your boards, we should represent, to me, the demographics of our community, because every one of us has a little different eye on it, and it makes for better policy, I think, because we're more aware of things. So I truly hope some people will step up to be on the board. Many different demographics. We're all Caucasian on the board right now. It'd be nice to see some more cultural diversity on the board, as well as gender balance.
Okay. And I know crime is big here in Juneau, everywhere it is. What's your plan on that? You got a lot of drugs in the community, obviously, and mental health services are lacking.
Well, I actually talked to Police Chief Mercer for about an hour the other day, because that's what I'll be a lot of doing, is trying to get people to meet with me and share their concerns and their viewpoints on what needs to change. And he really felt that our retirement systems need to be more incentivized for police officers, that having an officer shortage does not help the situation any. And so there was a bill, actually Representative Keto had it in office, about returning to defined benefits system. It's not the system that we had in the past, because that our finances have changed, and it can't be, what would I say? It's comprehensive, but it's not as generous, I guess, is what I would say. But still, it would be an incentive to stay here. Obviously, we do not. The other thing that's frustrating is we do not have any. You have a second. I wrote down what he told me here. It made perfect sense when I saw it. Because really, what I'm. What he feels needs to happen is we do not have any. Where is that? We have a lot of committing a crime, reoffending, I guess is the word, and he really feels like we don't have any diversion programs. If you are in jail, there is not treatment, there's not preparing you for the workforce, there's not, when you come out, there isn't a support community for people who would like to stay clean. And, you know, there are definitely things I know, Juno, with our partners, hopefully we can work together to make that happen. But there is definitely some things I believe the state could do, and that involve money, because we are really low on treatment programs. And there will be some federal funds coming, and so I'm hoping that can be a reality too.
Where do you stand on Juneau Access? That's going to come up, I'm sure.
It is. Well, I believe that we always will need to have a strong ferry system here in Alaska, but I also believe we would benefit from a road. And of course, we need to have our air transportation, you know, strong. For me, a lot of why I benefit from the road has to do with equity and access. It's very expensive to leave Juneau. Even the ferry, You know, it's $630 for a family of four in a car, $315 each way. So I think we need to look at it and talk about it. And I know it's an issue that there's like you said, a big issue in town. So I think it's just good to talk about it.
And second crossing to Douglas, will you be pushing that? Maybe state funding for that?
That has got to be city funding. The state has already said that we cannot use state dollars for that, but they would like that to be from sale tax funds. That's my understanding anyway. But all of that, you know, like I said, I'm just beginning to hear from the community, and I'll be representing the valley, and I think on all of those issues I'm going to be hearing people saying yes, this is good, or yes, we shouldn't do this for a certain reason. So I'm aware of that.
Okay.